Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Well, Miles, speaking of starting the week off right,
yes,
we are thrilled to be joined by a brilliant and talented writer, musician, and podcaster whose work has appeared in Rolling Stone, Spin, Stereo Gum, and who co-hosts the podcast How Did We Get Weird with Vanessa Bear and Jonah Bear. It's Jonah Bear!
Jonah!
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing,
man?
Good. I mean, I just ate tons of caviar for National Caviar Day.
Nice.
For breakfast.
Oh my
it was
God,
great.
Right.
Yeah.
If I see another egg, I'm going to fucking puke, man. Too much caviar.
Too much beluga, man. There's like that one caviar shop in Beverly Hills that, like, whenever I walk by, I'm like, oh, Petrosian. There's like a Petrosian caviar like restaurant. I'm like, what kind, like, that looks like a place you're advertising that you want to be strong arm robbed when you walk out of it. Like, yeah. I can't think of a more like superfluous like endeavor to be like, I went to the caviar restaurant today. You'd be like,
yeah,
okay, I'm gonna take your watch.
People talk about like going places to people watch. Like that is appointment viewing, people watching, just going there and seeing anybody who is strange enough to just go into a caviar restaurant.
Yeah. Like,
I didn't know that existed. Yeah. What do you think like the target demographic for a caviar restaurant is?
Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Like, you're a lawyer who gets like billionaires off for like war crimes and shit, like that kind of vibe. I feel like
the bartender at the caviar restaurant has to deal cocaine, right? Like, but it's like not even illegal at that point. It's just
it's on the
actually,
fucking menu.
Yeah, yeah. I have a license to deal cocaine at this level. Yeah, it's all medical grade.
This is a Petrosian boutique. It's like, oh, right. Okay, I'm sorry. Like, I'm looking at they have caviar scrambled eggs. You know how much that dish is?
$40.
$36.
Caviar salad. Caviar salad is a $42 fucking.
Caviar
honestly,
salad. Hmm.
I like how they're closed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Okay. Just so you know, we don't fuck around on those days. We're Thursday through Sunday off.
Well, that's when the really good shipments come through.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like there's a lot of Ascots there. I've started noticing that, like, very rich people, at a certain point, you get so rich that you then start cosplaying as a very rich person again. Like, you just, like, lose all self-awareness and you just look incredibly like a rich guy from a 60s, like, screwball comedy.
Right.
Yeah.
And the reviews are fucking frightening. Like, it's all 5 stars because I think these are all, like, aspiring wealthy people. Like, I mean, there's really no other place to go for caviar. Like,
that is
really
the only voice you can
really
read.
Really, JB reviews from Costa Mesa?
Truly. Appointment dining.
I might have to go by there this week and just take a couple photos and do, like, those TikTok videos. Like, hey, man, what do you do for a living? Like, send people in their cars,
right.
People,
like,
walking into the Petrosian restaurant.
I want to go and interview people. Like, that needs to be, then let's do that. We got to do that. Just interview any, like, nobody's going to agree to be interviewed, but.
Yeah, but fuck their
fuck their rights.
Privacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll blur their face for the purposes of the podcast. Jonah, where are you coming to us from?
I'm coming to you from Western Massachusetts, the Berkshires.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Are you from Massachusetts?
I'm not from Massachusetts. I'm from Cleveland originally, and then I lived in, like, the New York, Brooklyn area for about 11 years, and I've been out here for maybe 5 years or so.
Oh, nice. Okay. Nice.
Never met a bad person from Cleveland, I always say.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, they're almost all good.
You said that like it was a challenge, Jonah. You're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, right? Let me introduce you to a couple people.
You know, I had this weird flashback. When I got my license in New York, I had an Ohio license. I remember going to the DMV and I had all my paperwork ready. And the person working there was like, Ohio people, they always got it down. Like, they always got the paperwork ready. He was like, I don't have to wait. I don't know if that's an Ohio thing, but that's another thing
The filter of Ohio people that moved to New York. They're different level of motivation, or like, I didn't come this way to fuck up this DMV appointment. Like, I left Ohio for this.
And that is the same filter I'm dealing with, because I'm not meeting too many Cleveland people in Cleveland. I'm meeting a lot of people who left Cleveland.
Yes.
I feel like everyone's consistent. Like, I feel like all the people we talk to that are from Cleveland, like, it's people are chill. People are
usually chill. People will be like, oh, yeah. let me introduce you to my high school bully. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. Seems like a solid place.
It's a good spot. It's a good spot. Yeah.
Yeah. See, look at this. It's a good spot. Nobody says that about their hometown.
Put a pin in it.
How are the Berkshires?
Beautiful. It's really nice here in the summer. There's a lot of nature, a lot of trees, a lot of, you know, art and culture. I mean, I really like not living in a city, and I really like being out here. And it's really beautiful.
Nice.
Sounds amazing.
Have either of you been out this way before?
I've been to Massachusetts when I was younger. I played a lot of hockey, but it was mostly like playing in and around like the Boston area. So I'm less versed in the outer areas of Massachusetts or outside of Boston.
Yeah. I went to high school for 2 years in Boston. The aforementioned, before we started recording, we were talking about how it's a bad idea to ever give high school students the freedom of living in a dorm. That's why I was doing that in Massachusetts, but I didn't get out to the Berkshires that much other than like once or twice, but it did seem very pretty out there.
It is. And I did kind of that dorm thing too when I was 17. I did a 5-week guitar program at Berklee College of Music in Boston. So I had that high school kid dorm experience in Boston as well.
A lot of prank phone calls going on.
Guitar kids,
it was a lot of guitar. It was a lot of kids in practice rooms trying to play jazz or play really fast, like shredding guitar.
Right, right, right.
That was more the vibe.
Right.
A lot of practicing.
Like when you watch kids go from like, I like jazz guitar to being like, I fuck with Dream Theater, actually. That's where I'm headed now.
A lot of people had the Dream Theater signature Ibanez guitar for sure.
Right, right. Exactly. That's what I feel like. There's always like that fork in the I grew up a big music nerd kid as well. And like, I always watched like the guitar kids be like getting into flamenco, like shredder ripping metal, or being like, I'm like 5D chess brained prog rock shit.
Yeah. I don't know what any of that means, but that sounds great.
No, it's all good.
What is something from your search history?
Well, obviously, being very topical, I was searching this morning J-Lo and Ben Affleck's wedding.
Yes. Mm-mm-mm-mm. I can't believe it happened.
You know, I felt like, is this the most interesting thing about my personality? Is anyone going to glean anything about, you know, the mystery that I shroud myself in as Greta Titelman? You know, no. But it's important nonetheless. And I think it's something that the Daily Zeitgeist, you know, it is in the Daily Zeitgeist. Yeah. To me, it's very important, big piece of pop culture. And she confirmed that she changed her name to Jennifer Lynn Affleck.
No.
That's yes. wild, right? Like, that yes. is
what
an amazing,
yeah.
a wild swing.
She's now just Jaffleck?
She's Jaffleck.
Oh, my God.
Jaffleck. Yeah.
The branding.
She's going to get a duck to quack Jaffleck.
Jaffleck.
Yeah.
Wow. Wait, so her middle name is Lynn? You said her
middle name is Lynn. She wow. was always Jennifer Lynn Lopez.
Right.
But
right,
now
right.
she's Jennifer Lynn Affleck. And to me, I was really taken aback. I was like, oh, damn. She took the last name.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I don't have Abe's last name. I love Abe, but I'm like, uh-uh, honey, I'm not taking anybody's last name. The paperwork alone, I don't want to
I got
deal
a good
with.
Thing going with this, yeah. Like, yeah. I need all new everything cards? No.
No, no. Social Security? You're out yeah. of your mind.
No.
Like,
no.
what's, I mean, I guess she's not really dealing with that. She has, like, a no. team of people yeah, that are exactly. executing on that for her. But still, it's like, she never became, you know, she's
Jake Holmes.
Been J-Lo for so long.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
she still will be J-Lo forever, but
yeah, yeah,
now
yeah.
she's Jaffleck.
I hope that's a signal that this is enduring, that this isn't some flash in the pan thing, that this is, they're like, for her, it's like to show, yo, like, I really feel good about this man with the Phoenix tattoo on his back.
I think that they are, like, really legit in love. I really do.
I feel like
to come back around 20 years later, like, there's something there.
Oh, for
you
right.
know?
Sure.
And for yeah. like what they've know. Been, and they've been through a lot too. Like, they've had their share of like shitty like marriages. So I feel like, yeah, it does feel like that thing where it's like in a rom-com where they have to go through like the other dating scenarios to be like, you know what? In the end, it was all about this one. Me and Jaffleck.
And yeah. also the sign of a true like icon and media just like genius that like that is the thing that could I would not have noticed this story had it not been for her actually taking his name, which was, even though it's like the traditional thing, was the most unexpected thing she could have done. Like, it seems so yeah. strange that she would take his last name. She's like a bigger star than he is, right? By kind of a lot.
I like how we have like this Game of Thrones like conception of this marriage. Where, like, she would sully her name with House Affleck.
Right. Well, because you know, is when you become an icon of that yeah. status, you are your name. Like,
right.
there are very yeah. few people. It's literally like Cher, Beyonce, J Lo. It's like.
Right.
Prince,
yeah. Dolly
there
Parton.
Are very few people that are singular in their name.
Sure.
And then to like change right. it, it's you know,
warms
whatever.
Yeah. I guess not many people are like calling her Jennifer Lopez necessarily. They're calling her J-Lo. So like yeah. that is still there. That's a good point.
Yeah.
So in a way, maybe it's cowardly. It's like, you know what? Until you start going by Jennifer Affleck in public, it's meaningless.
When I saw Jennifer Affleck, I thought it was Jennifer Garner. I was like, wait, Jennifer Garner changed her name back then? And is
See,
changing
I don't
it back?
Even I don't even think Jennifer Garner changed her name to Jennifer Affleck.
That would be wild, though, if he was going that would be wild if he was going around just creating Jennifer Afflecks.
Like collecting gens, that's his kink.
Yeah.
He's like, I will turn every Jennifer in the United States into Jennifer Affleck.
Hey, Janet, you ever think about changing your name to Jennifer? No, it's not my name. All right, just think about it. Why'd you ask me
it's
that?
Over.
Keep asking me that, Ben.
Wait, I was going to say something and then I forgot about names and that was really dumb. And I don't know why I said I was going to say something and
Keeping
then I forgot.
Her brand. She should go by Jennifer Affleck and not J-Lo. Otherwise, she's
Ben
not
Affleck, true. Beyonce. I don't know
Jaffleck.
What I was. I don't know what I was
going
to say.
Back.
But
It'll
I mean, here's what I will say. When Kim Kardashian West changed her name back to Kim Kardashian, what a branding nightmare. She had built like KKW Beauty and all these other things. And then she has since relaunched everything else. But it's kind of like, it's hard. It's hard to.
Or counterpoint, it's like when you know, an athlete can change their jersey number and just sell more jerseys because they're like, right. Oh yeah, I'm this new number now, and people are like, fuck, well now I gotta buy this version.
I remembered what I was gonna say. When Mariah Carey married Nick Cannon, mm-hmm. and Nick Cannon got Mariah tattooed from literally shoulder to shoulder, yeah. across his back, and she got MC tattooed on her wrist for her new initials, even though they were the same as her old initials.
Chef's kiss.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know.
That
him.
Is perfect. That is
that's the hack right there.
100% Mariah Carey. delivering full Mariah Carey. Oh, that's so nice, honey. Here's what I did.
I got one too. But those are your initials. Yeah. Mariah Cannon, right?
Yeah.
And Mariah I'd like Cannon. You to write my vows as well as yours. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's the vibes I'm getting from that. What is something you think is underrated?
Okay. Maternity leave.
Mm.
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 We are trying to have a little Zara.
Okay.
Specifically.
Little Z?
Yeah. Couple mm-hmm. little Zs.
Okay.
And it has been a journey. Last time I saw y'all, I didn't know that I had had 2 out of 3 miscarriages.
Oh my God. I'm sorry.
That I would then come to have. Thank you. Yeah. That's why I was depressed. I didn't know. Because I just had like the hormone dump.
Right.
And
I
felt horrendous and I didn't know what was wrong with me. And I just thought I had like irregular periods and shit.
Mm.
And I was like, I don't know what my problem is. And I was being so mean to myself. And then I find this out and I'm like, yo.
Right.
Mm.
And so it's been this journey
trying
to figure it out because I also have thyroid disease and that complicates pregnancy. And like my whole life, I thought 40-year-old me could handle everything and pushed everything into the future basket of 40-year-old Zara.
Right, yeah. Right.
Like she'll deal with that. When I was in my 30s, ambivalent about corporate job, 40-year-old Zara's got this. Right. Ambivalent about kids, 40-year-old Zara's got this. Ambivalent about moving to LA, 40-year-old Zara's got
this. Right, right, like, right.
Right, like it gets easier. And I realized most of my putting it off was because I never was in a job with real maternity leave that I could like rely on to take care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and just like something we take for granted, right? It's just
so
like...
for granted. And when I was coming on, I was like, what's my underrated going to be? Like, how am I going to frame this? You know, and I was like, everybody just have kids as soon as you can. Don't wait. Figure it out later. Don't leave it to 40-year-old self. No.
You're never going to have more downtime than high school, folks. That's what I'm saying.
Listen, you
high
recover.
School summer. Just plan it for a high school summer. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I was like, no, you know what it is? In my 30s, I didn't have any kind of infrastructural support to make those choices.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much of... There are so many factors like that when most people are like, I don't know if I'm going to have kids. Like, wait, I've actually been too poor to have a kid in a way that I think wouldn't make me feel super stressed out about like sustaining another life form. Plus, have you given your energy to like an employer who is like, I will give you the humane things you need? You know, it's like such a balancing act of all those things.
Right. And I think we have to know that we're not entitled to any kind of alien ship abduction hero rescue.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We got to do that mothership rescue at our jobs.
Got to mothership rescue ourselves.
We got to, like, we have to turn the spaces that we're in, we have to turn them around, folks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I mean, yeah, that's why it's always amazing to see again when people always, the ignorant Americans, like, we're the number one. And you're like, not like we're pretty much at the back of the line for everything. And like when you look at parental leave, it's you're like, oh, that makes sense. We live in like the grossest place, but we just have the cheapest consumer goods.
Oh, my God. Some of my family moved to London
because
they can do that. They were like, we're out of here. And they're mixed race, black and Persian.
Okay.
Nice. And like half of it was to settle the question of like private school, public school, charter mm-hmm. school, because they wanted the arts for their daughters. They moved to London and it's all included.
Right.
It's all included. Like right. their expenses, their monthly expenses in the Bay Area were like $4,000 for rent, $5,000 tuition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, insane. How can yeah. we? And then battle racism on top of that. Like, come on.
But a flat screen TV. Flat screen TVs are very viable.
Flat screen, you get that.
But
shit
also everywhere. Yeah, you can get that everywhere. It's just like when compared to previous generations, that's the one thing that is better is
yeah.
consumer electronics.
Someone tweeted something. It's like, I forget who it was. I just had laughed, but they were like, it's wild to me that you can buy a flat screen TV for $300, but for the same amount of money, you will get the shittiest dresser or table.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, that's so true. Like, the level of craftsmanship, especially with like furniture, because like we use so much like, you know, like fiber board and like not real solid wood and shit like that, just to like have cheap, quick furniture. Yeah,
different. Yeah, types. You got to buy from previous generations.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm like. Yeah, when you look for like vintage furniture, you're like, yeah. Oh, it's not because I like the looks. Like, look, this shit will fucking go forever.
Right.
Also, I have to say, that's what I call my husband.
Hey,
there you go.
Cheap furniture.
Cheap furniture. There it is. Yeah, I was noticing behind you, and we're on Zoom, but behind you, like you are using your husband as a coat rack. Is that? Yeah. Is he just standing completely still? Is that?
Oh, what? Oh my goodness! Calm down. Just his skin.
Okay. All right. Got it. All right, let's see if you can work snorting into your overrated as well, because you're 2 for 2 so far. We got the snorting, the antivirals, we got the coke lines of coke with the back of the house boys. What is something you think is overrated?
What's overrated? You know what's overrated? Doing drugs.
Yes.
Doing drugs is overrated. I just hate hangovers now. Literally, the thing that keeps me from doing drugs is like, I don't want to be hungover tomorrow.
Yeah.
What kind of drugs are you doing? What does that mean? Wait, more than drinking? Like a drinking hangover? Like then like, you know, I won't say what's up. It's like maybe things that are, you know, fucking up your serotonin levels and shit. And then the next day you're like, ugh.
Yeah. No, well, because all of them mess up, you know, fuck yeah. with your serotonin, you know.
Yeah.
They're all, you know, messing with the chemicals in your brain.
Hey, that's why, you know, it's just like a little bit of psilocybin goes a long way. But, you know, that's another podcast we're doing.
Okay.
I get the thing with the hangovers because my body cannot process alcohol the same way it does.
Even no, alcohol. It's crazy.
Like, and it's weird. Like, I have a thing where for me to even get to the point where I'm like feeling buzzed, like it typically, like I realize like 3 drinks too late that I'm like, oh, you've had enough to drink because like
you're good. You're done. Up.
Yeah, and then the next day, like, I remember, like, the days when I would, like, sleep 4 hours, stink like a broken handle of vodka, and then roll into my, like, Dodge car dealership job, like, with sunglasses on and manage to work, like, 10 hours like it was nothing.
Oh, 100%, yeah. Working retail, literally, I worked Black Friday at Banana Republic the day after Thanksgiving, right? I woke up I'm sure I was still drunk from the night before. I showed up like 3 hours late. My boss was so mad, but like couldn't do anything about it because the store was packed with people. Like she was like, just do something, like pick up clothes and help.
Right.
And all day, like at work, like every now and then I'd get like a whiff of vomit and I was like, where is that coming from?
When it was just
I
inside
got
of you.
Home, it was like on a specific part of my top.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't like prominent, but it was yeah. there and present where it was like not all the time, but every so often I'd get just the right,
yeah.
you know, distance from yep. it. So yeah, I used to be able to do that, be fine. You know?
Yeah. Not now.
Yeah.
Like I can't even watch The Rock hungover on TNT like I used to. Like I can't even, that doesn't even work for me anymore.
Yeah. I haven't watched enough. I haven't drank in 7 years and coming up on 7 years and
congratulations.
Thank you. But
prior to that, first of all, my intake of TNT and just like also television commercials with like has gone plummeted way down.
Because
like
now I'm never relationship.
You're I'm like, no characters so, welcome.
I'm never so hungover that I can't just press the fast forward button, you know? But prior to that, I feel like I know what terminal illness feels like, some of the hangovers that I've oof, you know, gone through.
Yeah.
Just the worst feeling. Just
yeah, like death, being death, so hungover death, that you can't even enjoy an episode of Law and Order SVU, that's bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a dark place.
Like where you're anticipating like the clong clong sound. Cause you're
and
like,
it hurts you physically.
Sick. Yeah, like mm-hmm, it's going to make me sick when I hear it this time. Clong clong, like, oh, no, not that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. Drugs are overrated. Good one. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back and we'll talk about drugs because that's become an area of focus among sure, other things with the, you know, the two candidates we might be facing. Biden is on drugs, maybe not the right kind.
Not apparently, uppers.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
And, Trump is definitely on drugs, but they seem to be, I don't know, working for him. So we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake, let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
we're back. And about a month ago, San Francisco ousted a progressive district attorney, Chesa Boudin. Mm-hmm. Chesa Boudin. I always want to pronounce his name like he's like I am suddenly Cajun. But
yeah, no, yeah, it's Boudin. I'm just saying, if you want to get, you know, if you want to go down the Busquillos with it, then that's that sausage they call Boudin.
Boudin. Anyways, I remember seeing the right-wing media slash a lot of the mainstream media the day after he was ousted in a, like, recall, just, like, loving it, just loving to tell the story of, like, this guy lost the city. He's a, you know, he's a mess. The city's a mess. They've just, like, crime is out of control. And then finding a handful of people who actually were looking at the statistics and were like, actually, it was just suddenly the mainstream media really started focusing on every crime that happened in San Francisco when this progressive district attorney came into office. And the crime was statistically not up in any way beyond what you would expect from, you know, the economy and the pandemic. But anyways, we are now at the afterlife of that event. And the DA who's been brought in, less progressive, I guess we could say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the thing we've talked about, right? Like, there was all this hand-wringing and pearl-clutching, like, the crime's out of control. But again, criminologists and people whose business it is to look at those things are like, the 3 years that Boudin served as a DA, there were actually declining or stable rates of, like, many crimes, like, you know, homicide and things like that. But like you're saying, the fix was on when, like, the moneyed, you know, property owning people of San Francisco are like, let's get this guy out because he's being a little too humane with his, you know, sense of justice. So they got, once he's been ousted, it's time for the new regime to come in. There's a new DA that's come in, and now the DA's office has purged all of, you know, Boudin's old staff. And, oh man, the alternative that is being proposed isn't just like about slightly tweaking like minimum sentences or things like this. They're talking about mass surveillance. Let me just read this from the Daily Beast. It says, quote, under the latest policy proposed by a newly emboldened police department and backed by Mayor London Breed in the new DA's office, cops would be able to watch residents in real time during a, quote, significant event with public safety concerns as part of, quote, investigations relating to both active misdemeanors as well as felonies. The cameras available for access would include those with a variety of both low and high level capabilities. Everything from commercial to private doorbell cameras could ultimately be employed to keep tabs on possible crimes. So,
and that's without like granting access, like that's without them coming and being like, hey, can we use your doorbell? They just have access.
That would be like a policy that I think the police department would decide if an event is arising to the, quote, significant event with public safety concerns. But like, if it's a misdemeanor, but active public, like, what are we saying? Like, what are the definitions here? And I think what's really interesting is this is how quickly you can go from having a progressive DA to full blown surveillance state, right? Like, supporters of this new policy talk about how this will help the cops, quote, curb the chaos of drug deals and robberies. And that's all bullshit. Like, if are they proposing like a crime prevention thing where people are monitoring every single camera in real time? No. If anything, they're talking about so they have evidence where a lot of this footage can be accessed after the fact. So it's not like spying on everyone's fucking Ring camera is going to be the new method of policing. And I think this is, again, we're already living in a time where our privacy is under tremendous threat. And you look at what's happening with Dobbs decision and the overturning of Roe, like, privacy is a huge issue. And we're already seeing how quickly, even in like how the media would say, seemingly liberal places can go to this full blown, like, yeah, let's just fuck with people's civil liberties real quick. That might be the better option here.
Well, yeah, I mean, the city of San Francisco has been in really deep doo-doo for a long time with, like, wealth inequality. And, like, this did not happen overnight. Like, San Francisco has had, like, a huge problem with the unhoused population and with drugs and with, of course, with robbery. And it's like, we're the police answer is always treating the symptom and not going to the source of the problem of, exactly, like, why is there not affordable housing? And why are these poor people not lacking so much community and connection that they're getting addicted to drugs. And, you know, it's police is always the answer in this country.
Well, and I think that's the most fucked up part, right? Because, like, I'm so tired of hearing about policies and technology that, quote, will make policing easier. That's like the biggest red flag like you could ask for.
Yeah.
Policing in this
country. They said that about body cams. Right. They said that about body cams. And how has that worked out?
Well, yeah, you can wait a few months or maybe, I didn't have it on that time. But I think what we do know is that policing in this country is unequivocally a failed experiment. And we ignore new approaches to community safety at our own peril. Like, the trajectory we are on will eventually lead to, you cannot leave your domicile unless it is for authorized activity in order to ensure the community's safety type shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would also challenge that to say, like, it really wasn't an experiment. Like, that policing in this country has always been to protect wealth and to protect property.
Yeah. I use that in a very a charitable way to say, OK, you're done. 250
years.
Like, yeah. How many times do you need to see it absolutely fail in your face to be like, this is not a good thing or working? And, you know, like, to your point as well, Kirsten, it's like, we're not talking about what the root cause is, right? Because so much crime that the news likes to sensationalize, there's so much shit that's just survival crime. You know, people needing ways to make money to support themselves and a family because they have been completely excluded from the traditional economy based on, you know, class, race, gender identity, what have you. And if we're going to actually slow, quote unquote, crime, we need to address the needs of people. It's proven over and over again what social safety nets can do to help stabilize people's lives. So people commit crimes because they are in need much of the time, and not because we don't have enough fucking Ring cameras that police can fucking hack into.
Exactly.
The police are basically, especially in San Francisco, they are private security for, like, real estate millionaires and
LA too.
You know, tech billionaires, essentially.
Yeah. And corporations. Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, the whole, like, CVS thing. I have one of my best friends lives in San Francisco, and she's like, you literally can't find a drugstore. Like, there are no drug, because CVS is deciding as a company to close their stores because of the loss of inventory. And then
even that city's is actually answer, a myth that they were pushing, because they were actually running at a loss on their rentals, like, for the locations they used to rent places. And they had, like, actually articulated a plan to begin phasing out stores because they weren't bringing in enough revenue to justify the property rental cost. And they were able to loop in the theft ring into, like, sort of give this whole narrative even more legs to be like, dude, CVS can't even operate here anymore. When a lot of journalists are like, hold on, there was an earnings call 6 months ago where they talked about how this was a very bad market for them and they needed to rethink their strategy here. So, like, that's what's, like, wild, too, is there's so many seemingly good faith explanations for things that are happening, but many of them are still tied up in, like, this, you know, manufacturing consent for this new way of keeping people safe by being like, yeah, we're going to tap into cameras just like they did in the summer of 2020, which I think a lot of people don't talk about either, where many activists were saying, dude, they're fucking tapping into, like, cameras when people are exercising their right to protest. And that's having a chilling effect on our ability to organize things. So there's, like, so much multi-layer shit happening with, like, they can just take one sort of really sensational bit of video and take us to this point, I feel like.
Yeah.
And if you want to see that, like, there's a conspiracy at work with the mainstream media, or at least the mainstream media is heavily influenced by wealth, and, like, look at that story about CVS and, like, why they're closing their doors. And the real reason is that the rent is too high, that everything costs too much. Prices are out of control, particularly in, you know, with regards to rent in San Francisco, Jesus Christ. And that is a story that everyone can identify with. That is a story that needs to be told, that people are telling in movies and people are telling. But in the mainstream media, they chose to ignore the fact that CVS couldn't even pay their fucking rent and go with, it's these handful of unhoused people shoplifting. And, like, they've made it so they can't even, like, keep shit on the shelf anymore. which again, the fact like it, there is brutal inequality in San Francisco. It's not like those crimes were not happening, but the fact that the runaway story that became like a national media, you know, phenomenon became about shoplifting instead of like a story that is like desperately crying out to be told. Ezra Klein, who's like really smart for usually like half of his articles, he like, I think he started with Vox and now he's at the New York Times, and he's like, he almost got there in this article where he's talking about how like prices are the main story in the United States. The fact that prices are completely out of control and that there are things that the government could be doing to hem them in and make it so the corporations aren't able to just raise prices as much as they want, or, you know, landlords aren't able to, and they're choosing not to do that. And then he, you know, proposed a bunch of like means tested shit at the end, but he was almost there. It was almost like, yeah, so yeah, what do we do about that? We need to have a government maybe that isn't completely and 100% of the time beholden to corporations and wealth only. But yeah, it's wild.
It's truly criminal. I mean, we just had an article come out from the New York Times that the average New York City rent is now $5,000. And that's, I mean, it's laughable. It's just, it's truly mind-boggling. I mean, we have like a housing crisis. People are waiting in lines around the block just to see a shitty apartment on the Lower East Side because it's $2,000.
Right.
And even that is so high for the average person.
Right.
And
I think, and again, it's because America hates, like the media hates to really like examine what the real issues that are like harming this country are. We're not talking about it in a way of like, okay, the fucking average is 5,000. Like most people are raised to be like, hey, you don't want to spend, you know, more than a third of your monthly income on rent. So if this person, this magical person who can afford $5,000 a month rent, they're making what, $15,000, you know, net?
Yeah, who is this person?
180 grand a year, take home.
Right. Like, that's your net. Yeah. Like, so where is this? Because most people who would hear this right now be like, who, why, and how many people like this are there? There are plenty of people who can afford that, but that's not what the average person can afford. And I think when we do these things and just scapegoat the poor for being like, all this chaos, man, CVS is fucking up because these poor people are stealing things, rather than shit is so expensive and people are so desperate. Look at what it's doing to society right now. Look at that.
Yes.
But it's easier to just say, oh, God, this DA, man, he's a real loser, huh? Because everything's out of control because no one can afford anything.
Ugh. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yikes.
Yikes is right.
And this is our...
And yikes.
Annual. I'm trying to figure out what your salary would have to be to pull in 180 after taxes. And I just did $250,000. And that brings you to $162,000. So you wouldn't even... If you made $250,000 a year, you wouldn't even be able to afford rent. In average rent.
Yeah, if you made a quarter of $1 million a year, you could not live comfortably in New York City.
Right. And if you're living by that rule, because we know most people are spending 60% of their income on rent. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Spending way more than a third of my income on my rent.
Everyone is so strapped. But again, when the people who report the news are people who are not strapped and have never been strapped and will never be strapped for cash, like
you have to be making around $290,000, almost $300,000 a year to afford rent to afford average rent, which is not
right
how things work. But that's what was cool about this Ezra Klein thing. It was like, holy shit, did they just find out about this in the New York Times? But he was just talking about like how the median home price in 1950 was 2.2 times the average annual income. By 2020, it was 6 times. childcare costs grew by about 2,000% between 1972 and 2007. Family premiums for employer-based health insurance jumped by 47% just between 2011 and 2021. Deductibles, out-of-pocket costs went up 70%. Like that does that. That's in 10 years. And it, like, your the amount we're paying on for health insurance, let alone like companies, is went up 70%. This is when we're supposed to be like getting state sponsored healthcare. And then between 1980 and 2018, the average cost of an undergraduate education rose by 169%. And so everybody is in debt, is in massive debt. And like, yeah, like what we were just talking about with being able to pay your rent, like everybody is in debt and they are like, well, why is there crime? Why are people unhappy with the Democratic Party? And it's like, well, I don't know, man.
And just specifically on the child care costs, I mean, it's my brother has two young children and one is two and one is like 6 months. And they had a dual income. Both he and his wife were working and, you know, doing pretty well. Like, you know, they had a good upper middle class income for a family of four. And just to consider her going back to work and then having to put them in daycare, they were looking at $4,000 a month in daycare costs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So essentially, like for most people, that's like, you would only be working to pay the daycare. So how does it make sense to work? Like, right. It's
like,
it's
I, so that's what
it makes sense if she's going back. I mean, that offsets, assuming she's making, you know, $1 to $1.5 million a year. That's
exactly.
That's easy. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. As a special education teacher, that's about the average of what they're making.
What could a special education teacher make, Michael? $1.5 million a year? Yeah.
Holy moly. So it's like, how do we circle that square? My goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's what we, at every turn, people who are in these places, positions of power, and it's hard for them to abandon the status quo, but like the previous ways of thinking are not applicable. And in fact, they're harmful at this point. And the challenge is to have the imagination to do things differently. Because we're not in the same fucking realities that we are. And
right.
And I think that's what's so frustrating.
My favorite philosopher said, think different. Steve Jobs, have you read his work? It's the only philosophy we teach our kids is, you know, Baja Blast for breakfast and just ad copy for lunch.
Exactly.
Love it.
Hustle for dinner.
Yeah, and you hustle. You get out there. You get on your grind, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Love it. Super healthy.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
And we're back. And it's Tuna Gate. It's back. It's the story that, you know, I think, Miles, you said it's the story that, like, is number one on your, like, list of just, like, ballot initiatives, like, things that you're concerned about.
Yes, it's like, well, and also the thing that most frequently Zeitgang tags me in on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah. If anything is happening with Subway Tuna, they either, I have my supporters who are like, they can't hold us down, or I have people being like, is this your king?
You ride for Subway Tuna.
Oh, yeah.
It's fucking, so good.
Till the fucking fins come off, okay?
Honey wheat.
Oh, wow. I've never had on honey wheat. Okay. I've always, look, I'm a, like,
I've always had it just shoveling it into my mouth with my hands.
You just say pint, no bread.
Exactly. I'm like, yo, just give me the bag. Just give me the bag before you mix it. You
say,
give me that,
and then you say, I'll take a little sun chip on the side. I'll yeah. dip a little sun chip.
Dip a little French onion sun chip.
Yeah. Mm,
perfect. And amuse-bouche is what we call it.
Delicious. Delicious.
But yeah, people know I love the Subway tuna. I love tuna sandwiches. I grew up eating tuna sandwiches as a kid.
The best.
So like when I had like that little moment where I had like a little bit of pocket money as like a preteen and like on my bike and like you could go to Subway. That was like me feeling like an adult. I'm like, I have experience with tuna sandwich and I will now order this rather than being like, Mom, what do I like here? So I have like this connection with the Subway tuna. Now,
people carrying know. A briefcase. I'm just picturing little Miles riding his bike carrying a briefcase full of
just dripping out of the briefcase. Just all my Subway tuna in there.
A little like wet mayo drip.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little condensation.
Remember the old wrapping paper that they used to have? Yes. That looked like old Victorian drawings of like the early New York subway and shit?
Yes.
From our real heads when they were doing the U gouge and cutting the U shaped like hole out the top and then not down the side.
I totally forgot about that.
Wait, I forgot about that. What?
The U gouge. Okay, so if you look now, people they take the bread and they just slice it down the side and open
the way normal people.
Back in the day, they used to cut around, they would like lay it like this and cut around the tops so it was gouged out in a U shape.
Oh, treat it like a giant bread bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
I forgot about that too.
And remember the little top, if they weren't a real artist with it, that U, the top would be like mad thin.
Oh, crumbly and thin.
It would just like be soaked in like 2 seconds. Anyway, all that to say is
the U gouge.
Yeah, it's called the U gouge.
Those knives really well. It was like pumpkin carving knives.
Yeah.
In Subway.
100%.
They were quick with it, too.
This lawsuit hit like about a year ago, like where these people were alleging Subway is fucking lying. There is no tuna. We took it to get DNA tested. They said, what the fuck is this? Is what the lab results said. And the story came back in the news because a judge basically, I think Subway was like, hey, man, like, let's just call it a day. We don't need to let this trial move forward. The judge is like, no, like, we will hear more in the trial of is this fake tuna or not.
So the most headlines I've gotten in years.
Yeah, truly. The most important court case I'll ever have.
Right, exactly. He's like, I'll allow it. So the takeout, shout out the takeout, they're looking at sort of just generally, they're like, you know, they're giving us some insight into how this sort of analysis or like why the murky tuna thing even occurs. So the way they talk about it is Subway says that they got like most of their tuna is skipjack tuna and it's 100% sustainable, et cetera, et cetera. The takeout talks about how like they're the most sustainable version of catching tuna is like pole and line, like individual fucking fishermen catching one motherfucking fish at a time. And they're like, that's fucking tuna. But a lot of places, most places don't do it like that. They use another process where they'll like surround a school of targeted fish that they're trying to harvest and just drop a big ass net around them and just scoop out a bunch of the fucking ocean at once.
Yeah. And, Finding Nemo. End of right. Finding Nemo style. Yeah.
In this process, though, this leads to other kinds of seafood being in the haul, like sharks and turtles and like other shit. Turtles. And they said that could apparently be leading to this process as to why like it's not saying that it's 100% tuna. And this is apparently an issue that goes beyond Subway. Like a lot of tuna is mislabeled, apparently. I did not know this.
Okay, wait, now that we just brought up turtles, this is making me feel really crazy.
This does not make it better, Miles. I don't know. You brought this forth as evidence of like, so this explains it.
We eat turtles in Japan, you know?
Was this supposed to make us feel better because we're like, oh, sure, it's just other animals.
It's just rocks
not like,
and turtles.
Oh, it's like... right. Yoga mat or whatever they put in Wonder Bread. Well,
some people were saying there was pork in it. And they're like, no, there's not fucking pork in this. It's if anything, it's a bunch of ground up turtle and sharks.
You don't know what's in the middle of that school of tuna. You know, there could be a pig
quite
in there.
Frankly, who knows what the fish are eating anyway? They could be eating some fucking soprasada down in the ocean for all we know. And then a little bit of pig is inside of them. Or like everything is so fucked.
They could legit be eating yoga mats, too, that are just washed out to sea. And they're like, no, the only reason it's coming up is yoga mat because the amount of fucking microplastics that are in everything now. And that's another issue.
We have burger dogs. We have shark, tuna turtle.
Yeah, exactly.
This episode is not making anyone hungry.
Look, all I'm saying, I didn't bring this up to say, look, to each their own.
Are you
going to
keep eating Subway tuna?
Yeah.
Be real.
Yes. I'm being real.
It's taken a lot for Miles not to respond to that, like Samuel L. Jackson in A Time to Kill. And say, hell yes, I'm going to keep eating it.
Hell yeah, they deserve to die. And I hope
do you remember in like the 90s when everyone was like, don't eat Wendy's chili. There are like fingers that get cut off in it. Do you remember that?
Yes, just there that was, old like, all unfounded of this, like, rumor.
Lore around like people finding band-aids and fingers and all this shit in Wendy's chili.
I want to point out to people, so if you might be like, you'll never catch me slipping eating no fucking Subway tuna. Well, guess what? It ain't just canned tuna, okay? In the Atlantic, about like 9 years ago, they did a story about how this nonprofit group had conducted like genetic tests on over like 1,200 samples of fish in the U.S. And they found that, quote, 59% of the fish sold in restaurants and stores with the label tuna was not tuna.
So that's including sushi?
Yes, they found 74% of sushi venues mislabeled items as, quote, tuna when they were not.
Are they just dyeing it pink? What are they doing?
I don't know. I don't know what the fuck's going on there. Like, feel like...
I think we all just need to become vegan, I think, is what's going on at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, already, I don't do beef burgers anymore. I have Nathan's and Impossible's, like, what I do for my grills now. That's my first step towards getting away from that shit. But, like, yeah, when you're like, tuna's not tuna?
When tuna's not tuna, the world is upside down. That's the biggest takeaway from today.
Exactly. Now Mr. Kessler's got something to write in the Washington Post. He's like, one more fucking thing. Our tuna is not tuna. Alarm bells are going off here at the Washington Post. But I guess that's the thing is that maybe So maybe this lawsuit is more about saying like that to get Subway to be like, rather than being like, yo, we got 100% tuna over here. They may need to shift to like, we have 66.667% tuna or whatever.
They could just be like, it's tuna, we think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tuna, like Trawler Surprise or like Seafood Hash. Like there are other foods that...
Seafood Hash.
there's like corned beef hash is a thing that I have gladly eaten, even though I don't know what the fuck is in that, but...
Did you ever eat Scrabble growing up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to the Jersey Shore in a week and a half. Of course I ate Scrapple growing up.
But to me, it's like tuna, the new Scrapple, you know? You don't know what's in it, just tastes good.
Yeah. I mean, and is that bad? I guess that's what we, at the end of the day, I never ate a tuna sandwich because I was like, yes, the taste of tuna. I'm like, give me my like fish essenced mayonnaise paste.
It's the alchemy of the mayo, the fish. It's like if you have a little celery in there, sometimes people can pop it up with a dill. I mean, you never know. But you ever had Scrapple?
No, I've never, but I know about it. Like I watched a lot of cooking shows and I was like, you just take the trimmings and mix it up.
Literally like the other
was left after the hot dog. After the hot dog company has come and taken their pickings, they're like, okay, the rest of this shit, just we either like dump it in the ocean or we turn it into scrap.
Does it taste like organ meat? Or does it have just like generic meat flavor?
No, it tastes like tougher hot dog to me.
Yeah, but like what? It tastes like, and it's like fattier. It's slightly more grizzly.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Or gristly. Yeah, not grizzly like maybe, the bear. Grizzly.
It's a little grizzly too. It's a little grizzly. Yeah.
I kind of feel like it's the meat where it goes like you get your cuts of meat and then they make hot dog meat and then they make meat for dog food and stuff like that and then what's ever left we're at like A, B, C whatever's left at D becomes Scrapple.
D I think is for the Department of Corrections, so that's what they feed to incarcerated people and then it's like even not fit for what people feed in prisons, I guess. Oof.
Yeah,
I guess I'm down to try it though.
It is good.
Yeah, why not? Okay, I'll try it. Look, bring it on. Bring on the Scrapple. Bring on the
half Scrapple tuna. Melt is what you need. You need to do a Scrapple melt. You need to do it on two pieces of Roman meal bread.
Wait, what's the Scrapple melt? I've just like had it like a side.
You fry it up in a pan and you put a little cheese on there. I had one of my friends growing up, her mom used to put slices of Velveeta on it. I mean, wow. I would get diarrhea for like days after, but
I feel like you would get diarrhea by the end of that sandwich.
By looking at it.
I mean, honey, why do you think I have lupus? Okay. The autoimmune disease came from the Scrapple Velveeta mouth. It's crazy, but it's delicious.
Oh,
it will give you diarrhea. If you're constipated, let me make you that for you.
Okay, there you go. I'm going for it. And yeah, if there's any store-bought Scrapple, let me know. I'll pick it up. I just love how we just went from, we need to go vegan. And then now, nah, man, you want to eat the worst parts of a pig's asshole with Velveeta on it.
Yeah.
You know, two extremes lead to
exactly
the middle.
Right.
You want to eat the edible version of that shit that Jack Nicholson fell into in the original Batman movie, then try Scrapple. It's beautiful. Stored in a metal bin somewhere in a factory. Like, that's how they dry age it, is like it's stored in a bin somewhere where like people are murdered and then they bring it out and turn it into Scrapple. All right. It is the one day of the year that I feel okay talking about Major League Baseball. It's the All-Star game is happening, I think, tonight in Los Angeles.
The one day I feel good about it. Tonight,
I think. I know the Home Run Derby was last night. Yeah. So
there's tonight. No, you're right.
Sorry, to clarify, the game occurring tonight, it's like the NBA, like All-Star game. It's like all the best players
National League.
Put on their little outfits and go for a good game of ball. But it doesn't mean anything, right? It's just like fun.
It does mean they turned it into a thing where I think if the AL or the NL, whoever wins, they get home field advantage in the World Series, or at least that was the case at one point. So okay. They like wanted to add stakes to it because stakes, everybody
said it's
had,
not just funsies.
It's yeah, but it is mostly funsies, and they just like put people in. Like a pitcher comes in for like one or two innings, and then
got it. Okay,
there have been memorable All-Star games in my lifetime, but like the last one I feel like was like 99 or something.
Yeah, honestly, I can't the last time I checked for a home run derby was probably that like that Sosa McGuire year.
99, yeah, at Fenway.
Was that when he got busted for like taking steroids or something?
Yeah,
crazy?
But like way later.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
They're like, they're doing something no one's ever done. They're like, they were juiced the fuck out.
It was a moonshot. That thing's still traveling right over Mass Pike. But...
Wow, his fingernails are neon green. That might not be anything. Don't worry about it.
Oh, man. Anyways, not always like, I don't know. All right. I'm not going to say that baseball players are dumb because that's not a nice thing to say. But this is not the most surprising story I've ever heard. So any player traveling to Canada has to be vaccinated, as we learned in the NBA playoffs when a bunch of players couldn't travel to Toronto. I think it was actually just one 76er. So the Kansas City Royals had that happen to them this weekend where they were had a game in Toronto, and except 10 players had to not play in the game. So they were outed as being unvaccinated. And, you know, they, in addition to not getting to play in the game, they aren't paid for those games. Ooh. And so that, like, one Phillies catcher, JT Realmuto, said he could sacrifice the $250,000. What's money when I'm not going to let Canada tell me what I do and don't put in my body? For a little bit of money, it's not worth it.
Wow.
Which made me just wonder, like, what do these babies think is in this shit? Like, what are they so
hey, I've seen
about?
People get pretty sick.
Yeah, that was
even though
the
they
answer.
Got their vaccine. So it's yeah. I love also just shout out to the class solidarity there. What's $250K? Honestly,
I know.
Like, I'll fart that away just to pwn the Canadians. Like what fool? That's
yeah,
not
just
a little bit of money.
Stick it to them.
Of the players who are unvaccinated and can't travel, a whopping 94% of them are from the U.S.
All right.
Yeah, bro.
It's so embarrassing. This country is
it is
so
truly mortifying.
I'm
it
just
sucks.
Like,
it's
I'm like,
so
what the
awful.
Fuck is wrong with like I? It's crazy. It's asinine. It's
the most powerful
asinine.
People in our country are like these kinds of athletes, and then other like people in Congress who are asking like doctors if someone who's pregnant could give birth to a taco,
right?
And doing it with a straight face, and like we constantly just like. Let that shit cook too, which is wild too. Like that when you do stories like this, they're like, hey, anti-vax person, say some misinformation right now.
Right. That's the, yeah. JM, our writer from Canada, who's just watching this with the
hand glued to
detachment.
His forehead.
His hand over his mouth, just a stricken look of horror on his face, was pointing out that like vaccinated players don't get asked about it, but the unvaccinated ones are given a platform to spout misinformation. So like this dipshit Whit Merrifield said, like Miles said, I've just known too many people who've gotten pretty sick. But then he said, I might get vaccinated if something happens and I happen to get on a team that has a chance to play in Canada in the postseason. so he's basically
what?
Like, he's like, my team sucks. It doesn't really matter. But if I, you know, if it actually means something, I might actually do the damn thing.
Oh,
but
fans loved that, I'm sure.
It's but like again, like we're in this world where like these people aren't being challenged at all, and so they like who was it? There was a NBA player who was like very adamant that they weren't going to get vaccinated. And then, like, their teammates, like, had a talk with them, and their coach, like, explained to them.
Was it Andrew Wiggins?
Yeah, it was Wiggins. That's right.
Yeah.
And then he was like, yeah, yeah, I got vaccinated. And,
yeah,
and had,
had
the
a great
season
finals.
Of his fucking career.
I think that's what this guy needs to learn. Whit Merrifield needs to check himself with. I love that his take boils down to, look, if y'all were better at baseball, I might give a fuck about my life.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, whoa.
Yeah. And also just does not give a shit about the general like couldn't care less. A lot of it really does boil down to just America's individualistic, like head up our own ass, just so.
The idea no other selfish. Humans exist except for me.
Right.
Well, because our lovely capitalist society is built for the individual. It's not built for the community. It's not built to actually care for each other and give a shit about each other. It's the me constantly.
Right.
Yeah.
And then if someone dares question or have a conversation about why you make said decision, I think there's such a premium that people are like, that's my fucking constitutional right.
Right.
That I get to do whatever the fuck I want to do, even if it means threatening the health and lives of other people. So it's like, again, it's, you know, people, vaccinated people aren't the ones that are being questioned about their information and their viewpoints. It's always the unvaccinated people that are saying some fucking psychotic shit.
It's about freedom, man. Freedom from consequence at every turn for every single thing I do. That's what freedom is. Freedom from fucking consequence. Because I have misconstrued this concept of freedom where you can do anything you like into I can be as nasty and fucked up as I'd like to anybody. And no one better say shit to me because this is America and I just redefine freedom.
The American dream is now just getting so rich that you can remove yourself from the human condition, which includes like dealing with other people.
That you can say $250,000 isn't enough.
A little
money.
Bit of money.
Right.
And again, it's
what's $250,000 if I can say fuck you to Canada? Am I right?
Well, again, that's the concept of the culture of fuck you money, which is basically, I have so much money, I can say fuck you to anything. And that's fucking freedom, right?
That's tight, dude. Mm-hmm. Sick. Anyways, go Blue Jays, I guess, is the moral of that story.
Yeah. I would just love that it turns out like Toronto just is like this city that just crushes other teams. And they're like, bring your anti-vaxxers. Oh, right. You can't.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry about that.
They like get to the World Series and they suck. They've just been playing like teams that don't have any players the whole season. That would be pretty funny.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. It means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.